Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 61 of the Hellbound Podcast. I am C-list actor Michael Chan, who you may have seen in Star Trek Discovery Season 4. I am back again after disappearing for a few weeks, once again fighting my horrible, horrible doppelgangers who tried to take me out to make sure I didn't come back until the new year. But too bad for you, I am here on the last episode of the year. Or, we'll talk about whether this is the last episode or not later on. Across the world from me is my co-host. Who are you, sir?
I'm Alex Blackburn. I am the Hellbound Horror Festival founder and podcast host with Michael Chan and his amazing wife, Jessica.
And yes, my wife, Jessica, is next to me.
My wife.
It's Ali G or something.
Yeah. And you might hear a little bit from Baby Chan, who is on the ground playing his dinosaurs. Mirror, mirror, mirror. Dinosaurs, dinosaurs. Are you going to laugh, kid? There you go. Yes. So, how was everybody's Christmas and Boxing Day?
Pretty good. We finished all of everything that's the original timeline of Chucky over Boxing Day. Ooh. So, we enjoyed that, yeah. The season two of the show, which is the Mancini? But we watched all seven films in the two seasons. So, there's a lot to unpack. So, we'll go into next year, I think, going over that. But overall, it's, I'd say, one of the best horror franchises, you know, that something expands so many decades.
Yeah.
But just for pure hilarity of the second season, it was worth going through it all, yeah.
I haven't watched a show yet, but I have friends in it, so I'm really excited to start digging into that once I have a bit of time.
Yeah.
I've only ever watched the original Chucky because I watched it. I don't know why my parents let me watch it. And then I went to bed and it never disturbed me before. But I had that row of toys in my closet, the one that he was like hiding in, the little double row. And I looked at it and I was like, no. ruined it for me. Like, I was like, oh, I was never scared of my toys before then. But
yeah.
Our Christmas was pretty good. We had our in-laws over at my dad's place. So we hosted Christmas this year. You know, thankfully no horror things happen. No ghost stories, no horror stories. Or do we? Do we have any horror stories from Christmas?
No.
Aside from lots of poopy diapers, which I changed a lot of.
I'm prepping a giant meal for over like 2 days. Turkey.
Yeah. I think the only real nightmare, and it's not a real nightmare, but the only nightmare is that like we bought dim sum, or more specifically my dad bought dim sum for everybody for lunch on Christmas Day, because they're here all day. And like I had agreed with him to order certain specific dishes and then that was it. And when I got to the restaurant to pick it up, I ended up with like a $400 bill. And I was like, what is this? And I look at all the items, and it's like, the first half, definitely. what we agreed
your dad
on.
Now, eh?
And, that's why I'm calling out my dad on air. And then the second half is my dad just trying to show off. And I'm like, oh no. Well, we
still have three boxes of rice.
Yeah, we have three boxes
right
of
now.
Rice. And just
along with our turkey leftovers.
Just way too many.
And that's after my in-laws taking stuff home.
Wow. Yeah, we have like hargao, you know, shumai.
Love hargao.
We had, well,
okay, now that stuff.
No, was. That's normal. I know, but then we have like the ribs. The
The ribs were gone.
No. My brain's not working. What are those things called? Spare ribs?
Yeah, no, those got eaten.
No. I'm not talking about eaten. I'm saying what my dad.
Oh
ordered.
Yeah. We had all
the spare ribs were extra. The bean curd sheets. With like shrimp and veggies wrapped in it were extra.
There's leftovers.
No, I know
you
that.
Can tell what people like and don't like.
The barbecue pork buns that are not like the sweet barbecue pork buns.
Well, those only didn't get eaten because.
No, I know, but
because
I'm just
we thought they were dessert.
They
not,
were not part
if
of
they,
the
we
original
knew they were barbecue
order.
Pork buns. They might
the
have
rice
eaten.
Was not part
yeah,
of
I,
the order.
I would have devoured those. Yeah.
So I'm just saying there was too much. So then I had to pull out. I couldn't even. I was supposed to pay using cash to get a 10% discount, and I couldn't. because I didn't have enough cash because nobody warned me. Anyway, so that's my little nightmare.
Rant about your dad's ordering.
This is my life. This is my family life.
Did you get a printed paper receipt? Like really long receipt?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty long. Like although the whole thing was originally written on the back of a menu sheet. Like you go to a Chinese restaurant, they'll have special meals that are not in the menu, and you know they're printed on paper, right?
Yeah,
so it was
written
on the back of one of those, and I'm just like reading the whole thing. I'm like, oh my god. Oh well.
$400. Hey, wow.
You found the Peppa Pig Band-Aids. I see. Okay.
We had sushi for lunch actually on Christmas Day. So for breakfast, kind of before the main meal. So we just had some pre-packed stuff from Costco, which was really nice. And it wasn't Costco. Oh. It was Yo Sushi from Asda, I think it was, or Sainsbury's. I can't remember which supermarket it was. But it was really nice, and everyone loves it. So, and there's a good mix of vegetarian and regular stuff for people. So.
Yeah, those little, like, kind of pick-and-choose kind of stuff was so good for Christmas Day. Everybody gets to take whatever they want, and mm-hmm. no one has to cook anything extra on top of the.
Yeah, I get really possessive over the cheese, like the cheese board. That's my domain. That's what I pick. So
I farm that out. I farm that duty out to my brother since he's more of like a foodie. I was like, I don't want to deal with this. It's just me standing in the cheese aisle for 30 minutes, going, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's like picking a DVD at Blockbuster.
Yeah, so I'm like, you do it. You're the foodie. You go pick out all the nice cheeses.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, so it looks like he's getting ready to nap. So, Jess, what game did I buy you recently?
You bought me one game. I have two, actually, I found through the internet.
Ooh.
Through these, like, suggested videos. There's a YouTuber called Call Me Kevin. He just plays games, but I didn't actually watch all his videos because I started watching, and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. And the two games called Buddy Simulator 1984, and there's another one, hilariously, called Pony Island. Are both like they're both evolving games, so kind of like puzzle games. So I didn't want to watch and get spoilers, but the first one, it kind of opens like on a DOS screen, and you have to kind of boot up the
game.
This
is Buddy Simulator.
Buddy Simulator, yeah, and it's your buddy, your virtual buddy. You get to pick his name. Since it was called My Buddy, I went with Charles. I called my guy Charles instead of Chucky. I thought that was too on the nose, so I went with Charles. Yeah. And they ask your name and your date of birth. I was too freaked out. I was like, I mean, I know it's a game, but I didn't give it my real name. I don't trust this thing.
Yeah.
But it is a horror game, and yeah, he talks to you and you kind of start off with some simple games, and it evolves into like sort of a puzzle adventure game as you go. I'm only a little bit way through, but a little disturbing. Like one of the imageries, like the game keeps glitching, you're not sure why, and then you're also kind of meeting these characters in the game. One of them lost his hand, you have to go fishing for it, and then when you find it, it doesn't want to go back to its owner. It's like it likes you, I think it wants to stay with you, so you just walking around with this dismembered hand while you play this game. Lots of disturbing things like dead grandmas and I don't know how to explain this game, and I don't know if I should, because it's definitely
dead grandmas and dismembered hands. That
yeah.
Would you recommend it to our listeners?
Yeah, so far so like I find I haven't really gotten through. I know there's like next kind of evolution of the game as you play, and I wouldn't say it scares you, but it is disturbing that way.
And it evolves. When you say evolves, what does that mean?
Like as you pass, like your buddies, like, oh, I see you're not having fun, let me I'm gonna start something new. And then when he decides to shut down the game, it actually shuts down your game for real, which kind of makes it even more like, so you kind of have to reboot it up again.
And it goes from DOS and it turns into a different type of game.
Well, it always starts with DOS, but then when you boot it up, the name of the game changes or the style of the game changes.
Wow, so that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's like cheap. Like I got it on sale, I think. Or no, wait, Michael got.
I got it on sale.
Didn't I buy it? No, I can't remember. I think I bought it.
Oh right, I bought it for myself too.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, because it was only like $6, but you can get it on sale. So.
In Pony Island.
Oh yeah, Pony Island's the same. So it's kind of like a game. It looks like a little simple arcade machine that you start up. if you pay close attention, made by Lucifer. Was it Lucifer? No, Satan Tech Inc. Something like that. But yeah, it starts as a simple little pony jumping game, which right. When you start it up, it doesn't work properly, so you kind of have to go in and fix the start menu. So there's a bit of like coding puzzles and stuff.
Yeah.
But as you find, there's a you know, the machine is. Yes, I know. The machine has a sinister presence in it that wants you to keep playing. You just, for the mere price of your soul, you can keep playing Pony Island forever.
Oh my! I can see why you didn't put your details into that first game, because these two seem
somewhat disturbing. But yeah, so like the game kind of breaks down. You're trying to fix it, but also trying to figure your way out of this game that you seem to be trapped in. But it also kind of lets you kind of out at some point, and you get to see kind of the computer desktop screen. So both of them have this little fun element of kind of seeing behind the game, sort of, I guess. It's really neat, but also kind of evolves as you play, because the presence behind the game is not too happy that you beat it so easily.
Yeah.
So you get, you know, little demons that you eventually can fight off with pony lasers.
This is epic.
This is right down Michael's avenue, I think, with his TikToks and everything. Yeah.
Oh yeah, which is why I bought Buddy Simulator, because I'm going to put it on my Steam Deck and I'm going to play that.
It's really fun, and it's more, I guess I would say, like, it's horror adjacent, like, it hasn't scared me, but more of kind of in the tone of, like, Welcome to Night Vale, where everything is kind of not quite as it seems and a little unsettling. Mm-hmm. So both a lot of fun so far. I haven't gotten through all both of them, but yeah, they're in the similar vein of this kind of, like, the game evolves as you play and yeah. changes. So
the fact that is it Buddy Simulator, the first one you mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
The fact the game can turn off is disturbing to me.
Yeah, that's what I found so creepy. Like, it didn't exit into the main menu of the game. It exited the program completely, which I thought was really creepy.
Wow. Because then you start questioning your system. Oh, something's a glitch, or is there something going on? Wow, that's quite... I've never heard of that happening before.
All right, now it's just me.
I'm so just lame. You, mate. Just you.
My Boxing Day was great. I watched Terrifier 2.
Yes.
Which is a wonderful thing to do after Christmas.
Did you watch it on your own, I take it?
Yeah. No, Jess isn't into that kind of horror. Like, it's just the 1980s, like slasher, gore, horror stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Was fake enough back then that I think she was okay with it, but now it's gotten to the point of realism and just very disturbing that it gave, like, the first movie Terrifier 1, she didn't finish it, but it gave her nightmares, so she couldn't continue. Have we talked about Terrifier 1 on here, right?
Yes, we have. Yeah, not 2. No.
Okay, so I was going to say my doppelgangers had me tied up and beat me a lot, so I might have amnesia. So I don't remember exactly what we talked about in previous episodes.
Definitely Terrifier, yeah.
Okay, so like I mentioned that I liked Terrifier, and it's a good throwback to the old style of gore, as is gore horror or whatever you call it. My brain's not working about what, there's a name for it, but anyways, it's very gore.
Body horror or gore porn, something like that.
Yeah. So. But my comment about the last movie was that there were people online whose commentary was that it seemed a little misogynistic and problematic because of Terrifier 1, the way that Art the Clown, the villain, killed specific female characters. And I feel that it was unintentional, and reading interviews with the guy who created Terrifier, it seems unintentional, and I know that he said that. So I was told by some friends that in Terrifier 2, it seems he learned from
you know, the commentary on Terrifier 1, and then tried to in a way show that he's listening and that he's trying to rectify the way he presents things so as not to be mistaken. So Terrifier 2, I enjoyed. I think the addition of like a little girl clown is it was an interesting. I'm trying not to spoil much or but there's like a girl clown now. There's a mystical or you know element to art now, and this little girl clown, and is a very, it's a more disturbing film in my opinion than Terrifier 1. Clearly had a bigger budget because holy cow, was it gory and more realistic. I was told that there is a certain scene involving a male character that was supposed to be kind of like the counter to the way that females were killed in the first film, but I would have to disagree. I think that although the way he killed males were brutal, the way Art killed women was still worse.
Yeah.
And I'm, again, not accusing the film of being misogynistic or problematic, but should anyone make that complaint, I can see where they're coming from, because it seems to me Art is a little obsessed with the female, the way of killing women versus killing men, is the best I can put it without spoiling. It's just, okay. I don't think he's, yes, he kills men and women both, but I don't think he's as seemingly equal opportunity as I think he, okay, he was created to be equal opportunity. It doesn't matter. Like I think the creator's idea of it is that he kills whatever, right? He'll kill anyone.
Yeah.
And he's gruesome no matter what. He's brutal no matter what. I just think what was presented could be seen as problematic, even if it's not intended, is what I'm trying to say. But knowing what the guy said in interviews, I will give him the benefit of the doubt. So I will say I did actually enjoy Terrifier 2 very much.
Yeah, that's it's something, especially the first one, it's something I wanted to watch, and obviously there's ways and means of watching it illegally, but I'd prefer to kind of support a service that I could watch it in the UK. And it
does
seems
Google Play allow you to buy it? Because that's how I did it.
Yeah, possibly. There's apparently an uncut version. Is it the second one? I'm not sure, but two's more readily available in the UK.
One is available. I watched it on Tubi for free, but there's ads, and I didn't mind.
Yeah, so I think I'll find something like that. There's probably a better version. There's obviously a lot of apps and stuff, so hopefully I'll find it on one of those, because I'm really quite curious, because I think Ian Rayburn was a fan of how it got produced more than anything else.
I know a bit about how it was made, and I think it's amazing
to get it done. To get it made yourself, that's the greatest achievement, you know, having something produced and do so well. The second one, was it $30 million, something like that?
I mean, it's still technically an indie film. Yeah. So both of them, and that is an impressive feat, especially with the cult following it's gotten. Like, it has a mainstream cult following for two indie, technically more than two. The character was originally appeared in a different movie, but anyways, doesn't matter.
Okay.
The
whole point
is, yeah, there's a movie before Terrifier 1 that had him. I forgot the name of it, but I haven't watched that. I want to go back because I started looking up a lot about the creation of the films, the mindset behind all this, because like I said, I've read some commentary on how problematic especially the first one is. I was just curious, so I've learned a lot about it, and I'm impressed. I think we are now in a time that I think I wouldn't say, okay, I know some people are like, oh, the pendulum swung too far. It hasn't. I think things that are problematic has always been problematic, but not on a larger societal systemic level, in the sense that people just didn't acknowledge it. So as time passes, people have to be
more conscious of what they're presenting, as people are more willing to voice their discontent and voice the I guess oppressive nature of our system. So and the problematic issues that arise from it, like misogyny and all that, especially nowadays in a time when, you know, women's rights are being taken away, it's I think worth exploring the idea that maybe we should be a little bit more a lot more conscious of what we put out there as artists.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, but that's why I look so much up about this, because of that conversation surrounding the movie and the fact that the creators literally said, like, I had no idea. I just, okay. Whoops, ouch. Like, you know, I didn't mean that. I'll do better.
That's so great that he was receptive to that and went a certain distance with the second one.
Yeah.
To address
it. Yeah, like I said, I can still see where people would have a problem with the second one. I think he tried to show art being more equal opportunity, but I just found the way art killed women was still different than the way he killed men. And again, I don't think it's intentional. I think this seems to be an homage to the 80s. So you have the whole mm-hmm. idea of like Final Girls and women being chased by, you know, male killer slashers, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
This is a general theme. There's sex, there's drugs, you know. I think it's hard to pay homage sometimes without also bringing some of the problematic issues of the past with it.
Yeah, that is so true. And that's something that I think is, it's not the subject of the later Chucky films or the series. There's a lot that's addressed in the first season especially, that's quite refreshing. I was really surprised and to see that the original creator of the entire franchise, Don Mancini, to address these things. And it's based, this isn't a spoiler, it's based on his early childhood, so it's mm-hmm. It's really interesting to see these perspective, these kind of fresh approaches and these things addressed, but still have that original kind of laced humor with Chucky and Brad Dourif doing an amazing job. And this isn't a spoiler, but in not too late into the films, you've got Brad Dourif's daughter and her involvement and how she's involved with her dad. And it's all very, very fascinating. But yeah, to see kind of address these things societally is really, really fascinating. And to do it in the framework of something from the 80s that's coming to kind of a modern era, because Chucky is still very 80s or the late 80s when it came.
It is. Yeah.
And he's stuck in his own time. But even with Seed of Chucky, there's a lot of things addressed, a lot of things talked about that I was pleasantly surprised. And that's why Seed of Chucky is my favorite of the films. It's a much later film. It's not, I think it's the fourth or fifth one. But it's got some great, great ideas. But I think it's not a work of art, but I think it's highly entertaining. And
I don't think I ever made it through all the Chucky films. I think I've watched the first two.
It really did go parody, but the ideas
and the Blumhouse remake, which I did not like.
I know you've got Mark Hamill doing the voice and all of that, but I really didn't like it, and it lost
it's,
it.
Lost it's the writing. Mind.
Yeah.
And before we move on, I just want to, because I was trying, that's, I kept saying creator of Terrifier just because I was trying to remember the name. It's Damien Leone.
That's right. Yeah. He wrote and directed the two films. He's a producer.
I know the
as well.
First one he wrote, directed. I'm sorry.
He directed the second one as
wrote,
well.
Wrote, directed, yeah. edited, and produced.
Wow.
That is incredible.
And the budget, the second one was $250,000, I think. That's what it says on Google.
Let me look.
Yeah.
Oh, on Google. It has the budget?
Yeah, so it basically, as soon as I put Terrifier 2 into Google.
Yeah, $250,000.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, so, like, my production company is trying to make, like, we want to make a film
yeah.
that
is going to cost us about $350,000, and two, I mean, okay, $250,000 US though. That's close to our budget for CAD, the Canadian dollar. Yeah, I mean, if we can make our film look as good as that, good on us. Because yeah. Like $250,000 looked like $1 million. So
yeah,
very, especially with the sheer amount of gore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, wow.
So Terrifier 2 on that budget, I thought it was higher than this. $12 million it made. It made $12 million.
Yeah, like on a $250,000 US budget with multiple locations.
Yeah.
Like incredible costumes, gore galore, and you know, relatively there's a main cast, but there's a lot of other actors in there here and there. So like and BG. So I, you know, I applaud Damien for doing this on an indie budget. I mean, again, it's an indie film, but still, like, good on him.
Yeah.
There is, at the end of Terrifier 2, a hint at a possible third movie. I am here for it. And, yes.
Well, that sounds
good. I'll end with that. I will, again, I like Terrifier 1, like Terrifier 2 more. I give Damien the benefit of the doubt for anything that seems problematic, and I'm very much looking forward to Terrifier 3.
Yeah, I definitely agree that. I'm looking forward to watching both of them and to see the progress in filmmaking technique and progression of what we've talked about, what he's addressed from the first one and what he's done in the second. So, yeah, I'm really fascinated to see those two films.
Especially considering Terrifier movies are better than Halloween Ends, and Halloween Ends had a $33 million budget.
Yeah. Was it Universal? I think they really messed up with putting it straight on Peacock as well. I think that's a big mistake. They probably lost a chunk of money there.
I give up. I love Halloween, but I give up.
I think that's it for me, because I was just so kind of enamored with Chucky over the holiday period. We watched all seven film. I think it's all seven films in the two seasons, and the second season is really strong. And there's a moment, the whole series, the two seasons are worth watching. There's 12 episodes per season, and there's a huge moment in the end of the second one. Not like to lead on to anything, but it's like, when you really piss Chucky off, what lengths on screen will it go to? And the gore in one scene is just like unreal. So it's fun. there's the lines of dialogue for Brad Dourif to kind of articulate as Chucky are, there's some real golden eggs that I'll be quoting for years to come. And I think it's, hopefully it does well. And yeah.
I can't wait to dive into the show just so I can talk to you about it.
I'd be very, it's very inside baseball though, in terms of characters appearing and can you watch it without seeing the films? I'd say yes, but you will.
Oh, it's a continuation.
Yeah, yeah. It's like seven movies, then the two seasons. So you've really got to watch the films.
Oh, no. That's the thing. I have to watch all of it. No, yeah. That's a lot to watch. I'm a parent. I don't have that much time.
It's really difficult. It's really difficult. If we hadn't watched those films, I'd have been lost. You'd been lost straight away. It explains it, but the kind of quality or of a fully developed series, you can't really grasp it all without seeing all the movies, really.
All right. Good to know. Good to know. All right. Well, as Alex said, this is the end of our final episode, or is it, for the year of 2022. Thank you so much, everyone, for supporting us, for listening to my long rants and listening to me go on and on about doppelgangers since episode one. it's been a lot of fun, and I think we, after 1 year of doing this, have a solid have the solid groundwork to continue bringing you horror entertainment into 2023 and beyond. Probably going to make some improvements here and there, hopefully, and adjustments. Absolutely. and again, thank you so much. Like, we love every single one of you, and we really do appreciate that you're letting us into your ear and your brain.
So, if you love us as much as we love you, you can follow us on Instagram if you haven't done so already, at The Hellbound Podcast. If you have anything you want featured on our social media, just send us a private message, like cosplays, art, music, whatever. We'd love to give you a boost. Also, please consider giving us a follow or subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. That really helps us grow. And if the option is available, please give us a like a 5 or 10 star review or whatever the top rating is. We'd like that very much. And if you don't, my doppelgangers will come get you. So again, thank you so much. Take care, all of you, and harness to darkness.